Some people use the term Celtic family to talk about everyone involved with the club. However, like real families, that doesn't mean there's always peace and harmony. Sometimes this leads to arguments between club officials and supporters. And even going back to Celtic's earliest days, this is far from a new phenomenon. This podcast describes what happens when the fixture being played is Celtic versus the Celtic fans. From the Boys Foundation, there were examples of discord between the club's committee and supporters too. In fact, it almost led to the establishment of a rival team. Famously, Celtic were set up to provide charity for poor children in Glasgow's East End, although there were religious and political influences as well in the early years. However, many people believed that the hugely successful Celtic soon forgot about these roots. There were regular complaints in the local Catholic press that the club was spending too much on the team and ground and not enough on the poor. Famously, the Glasgow Observer, a Catholic newspaper, published an editorial attacking the men running Celtic, saying, "Can we not get a club that will carry out the original idea of Brother Walfred?" Soon others looked enviously eastwards at Edinburgh Hibernian, who they believed had a strong Irish Catholic identity, and thought Celtic should copy this as well. For instance, in the early years of Hibernian, only Catholic men could play for them. This eventually resulted in a new Irish team being set up, not far from Celtic Park. Glasgow Hibernian's goal was to challenge and overtake Celtic in the hearts of the Glasgow Irish. However, most supporters still backed the Celts, and the new Hibs team lasted little more than a year before collapsing amidst financial problems and legal battles. In the early days, it wasn't simply political issues that led to fan disputes. There were also arguments that echo many modern-day complaints. For instance, supporters groups argued with the Celtic committee about the prices being charged for tickets. At different times, there was even threats of boycotts in relation to these matters. Famously, the early Celtic supporters' clubs were known as brake clubs, named after the horse and carriage transport that was used to transport fans to games. Although these clubs were popular with many, they also had a negative reputation due to various issues, and this brought them into conflict with the club. There are multiple examples to be found of brake clubs being part of violent incidents, whether they started this trouble or were simply defending themselves from attacks by other groups. Other people claimed that the songs, alcoholism, and general rowdiness associated with the brake clubs was a problem. Newspapers would run stories about members of these organisations ending up in court. As a result of this, many Celtic officials wished to disassociate themselves from these fans. In particular, legendary manager Willie Mailey was scathing. In the early 1920s, he opined that, "The war fever is dying out of men's blood. I feel sure that by next season we shall be rid of the brake club hooligan, against whom all sporting men's hands should be turned." Mailey, in fact, went further, describing those fans as being, quote, "the greatest blot that has ever soiled Scottish football." This is strong language from the club's longest-serving manager, showing his strength of feeling. Of course, it's perhaps worth noting that there were likely a great many issues on which the Celtic manager and the club's fans disagreed, given his known support for the monarchy, for instance. Mailey was an imposing figure, and this was shown in how he dealt directly with fan abuse. On one occasion, a Celtic supporter screamed threats at a referee. In response, the boys' manager challenged that supporter to a fight, which thankfully didn't actually happen. It's not simply Willie Mailey that's often expressed opposition towards the actions of Celtic fans. At various times in the years following World War II, supporters were criticised for the same ills that the brake clubs were said to have been involved in, including violence and drunkenness. Once more, contemporary newspapers provide numerous examples of fan arrests for such actions. In particular, the topic of songs and political opinions as expressed on the terraces led to more division between supporters and the club. In another issue which is still evident in the modern era, the board and manager criticised many Celts for their choice of musical support. Jock Stein, Celtic's greatest manager, and of course, from a Protestant background, was known to condemn political chants and gestures. After the Ibrox disaster in the early 1970s, he remarked, quote, This terrible tragedy must help curb the bigotry and bitterness of Old Firm matches. When human life is at stake, this kind of hatred seems sordid and little. The use of the match day programme to deliver warnings to Celtic supporters was a fairly common occurrence. It can be found in multiple programmes going back to the 1960s, 70s and 80s. For example, in 1974, Jocks Dean wrote that, "In recent weeks we have had the revival of songs and chants which are offensive to all decent people attending football matches." Celtic Football Club have frequently condemned this intolerable behaviour, and past warnings have had some effect, but only of a temporary nature. It is now our intention to weed out the persistent culprits with the help of the police so that all decent Celtic supporters, as well as visitors and neutrals, can attend games at Celtic Park without embarrassment. One issue which has regularly seen Celtic fans, and indeed all football supporters, receive criticism relates to alcohol. Newspaper editorials in the 1960s and 70s regularly condemned the drinking culture that existed amongst football fans, especially when this spilled over into violence. At various times, Celtic have also censured their fans for this, especially when it has resulted in political threats against football. Arguably the most famous of these came following the 1980 Scottish Cup final, when an on-field riot started by Rangers fans resulted in alcohol being banned from Scottish grounds. By the time the 1990s arrived, there were numerous issues which continued to split the club and fans, with the attacks and criticisms going both ways. The most obvious of these came in the form of Sack the Board protests. By the early 1990s, Celtic were in disarray on and off the park. In a playing sense, they were well behind not simply Rangers, but also various other teams in Scotland, and the club's financial position was precarious at best. Numerous fan protests took place against the board. This started with the Save Our Celts campaign, but later expanded into the better known Celts for Change group. These organisations participated in various actions, such as marches and media stunts, to say nothing of the Sack the Board refrain, which was regularly sung at the grounds. However, it was not simply the supporters that attacked the board. In turn, Celtic's custodians had their own criticisms of these protests. Club chairman Kevin Kelly famously described people opposed to the current regime as being malcontents. It was also suggested by others that people engaging in Celtic protests were not true fans. Of course, Fergus McCann eventually removed the old board from power. The story of McCann is a fascinating one in terms of how supporter opinions can change. Initially, he was very popular for having ousted the previous regime. However, he became the target of fan ire on different occasions, and nowadays he's given a status akin to Brother Walfred in Celtic's history. Other than complaints about club spending, the issue which caused many arguments between McCann and some Celtic fans related to the songs that were sung in the stands. He famously started the Boys Against Bigotry campaign. Launched in 1996, these efforts tried to shift Celtic away from association with nationalist Irish politics. The move was unpopular with many and helped foster the negative views that some supporters had towards McCann, even leading to him being booed when unfurling the 1998 league flag. Like now, this was something that divided the support and others associated with the club. Tommy Burns was part of the campaign, and he once commented that he had, quote, noticed a huge reduction in sectarian singing at Parkhead. However, in later years, Burns said he wasn't comfortable with the scheme. In the 21st century, there have been multiple examples of disputes between Celtic supporters and the board. In the main, this continues to be about the football team, for instance, with fans believing not enough is being spent on the team, and complaints about ticket prices. However, since the year 2000, arguably the principal cause of disputes between the club and some supporters is in relation to politics. Many Celtic fans back causes such as Irish republicanism, anti-monarchy views, and also support for Palestine. These can be expressed in different ways, including songs and banners. These topics can divide the support, but the official Celtic position has been to criticise such actions. Following one banner which was displayed in relation to the tragic events in Gaza, a Celtic statement slammed the sign, saying Celtic, quote, disassociate themselves from them, before adding that political messages and banners are not welcome at Celtic Park. Before this, it was the issue of the poppy that previously caused division. Some Celtic supporters disliked the poppy for its association with the British Army's actions around the world, out with the two world wars. When a poppy was worn on the club's shirt in 2010, it provoked a furore. A fan banner attacked this move. It read, "Ireland, Iraq, Afghanistan, no blood-stained poppy on our hoops." In turn, Celtic officially apologised for these supporters' actions. This began what can often feel like an annual set of arguments as November comes round each year. And sometimes the arguments between Celtic officials and the fans aren't down to opinions, but instead actions. In recent years, the issue of pyro displays at football has caused controversy. This is true across most clubs, with the matter often highlighting generational divides in the support. There have been fines and threats of other punishments for this, which has again led the club to criticise or warn supporters. And of course, 2025 witnessed a huge fallout between the supporters and those charged with running the club. Fan complaints over various issues, including a perceived lack of ambition and signings failures, created an atmosphere more akin to the early 1990s. Chants of sack the board have boomed around the grounds, along with other protests. The reality is that no large organisation will ever have uniform views. The only thing that everyone involved with Celtic agrees on is that they want the boys to win. Out with this, there's so many issues when fans can argue amongst themselves or with the people in charge of the club. And the reality is that this is not a new phenomenon. From almost the very moment that Celtic were founded, there's examples of arguments between the club and its fans. You can debate whether or not there is such a thing, truly, as the Celtic family. But if there is, then the honest answer is that real families don't always get on. So why would the Celtic one be any different? If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit CelticWalkingTours.wordpress.com for more information.